Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make it fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the second chapter of Acts, where we've been learning how to be used by God. And today our focus is on how to glorify Him above ourselves, as we pick up in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Now, as we look back over this story here, there are five things that I want to point out to you that stand out about these guys. And the first verse of the third chapter, and that is that they were obviously men of prayer because they were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. And this is one of the characteristics of a person that's going to be being used by God. People that pray. Do you pray? Do I pray? Do we pray in faith? That's the kind of people that are used by God. People who just believe the Lord wants to do something, and they don't take into consideration all of the difficulties of it or all of perhaps even the seeming impossibilities. They just say, you know, Lord, I just believe that you could do something. And I pray that you would be with us as we take this step of faith and as we move in this direction. And you know, amazingly, God honors that. God blesses that. And as you pray, God will work through your prayers. So these guys were men of prayer, and that's indicated by the fact that they were going to spend some time in prayer here. But then the next thing that we see about them is that they were also men of faith. They prayed, and then they acted, they moved, they stepped out. And if you're in tune with the Lord, you're going to be trusting the Lord. You're going to be taking steps of faith. You're going to be believing that God wants to work. And we see that here as they encounter this man, we see that Peter, rather than, you know, just reaching into his pocket and pulling out a couple shekels and throwing them in to the guy's hat or whatever it was that he had, instead he stops and he says, no, you know, God wants to do something in this person's life. God wants to do something far beyond what this guy's even expecting. And Peter says, look at me. We don't have any silver and gold, but what we do have, we'll give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Stand up and walk. And Peter reaches down and he grabs this man and he pulls him to his feet. Peter took a major step of faith right there. But you know, if we are going to accomplish something for the Lord, anything, we do have to take steps of faith. Because, of course, there's great opposition to serving God, isn't there? And we can't let those seeming obstacles, though, deter us. We have got to take steps of faith. We've got to just step out and say, Lord, I believe in your call. I believe in what you want to do. As I was talking to this Canadian pastor who was taking me up to the airport, but we were talking about the city of Vancouver itself, a city of a couple of million people. And I mean, to me, I look at a population mass like that, and I think, man, that's a place where you want to get a church started. And so we were talking about that a little bit, and he was saying, well, you know, I've been thinking about that, and some people actually in North Vancouver have come and visited our church, and they've said, we'd love to have a Calvary Chapel in Vancouver, and, you know, if you're ever willing to come over and do a Bible study, then we would love to open up our house. And, you know, so he's telling me all of this stuff. And then he says, you know, he says, well, what do you think about that? And I said, you need to go do it. He said, what? You think so? I said, no, I know so. You need to go do it. Take a step of faith. See what the Lord will do. The invitation has been given. Now you just step out and see what God will do with that. And he was excited by the end of our, little drive to the airport. He was excited about a new step of faith. And that's how the work of God is expanded. That's how the kingdom advances. That's how progress is made in the spiritual realm. It's made by faith, by taking steps of faith. And steps of faith are steps that we take based upon God speaking to us through his word and God speaking to our hearts about things that he wants to do. Now, here's something that you need to know. There will always be obstacles to faith. There will always be reasons why this thing might not work. There will always be even suggestions that might even come into your mind that you shouldn't try to do this. This is crazy. Now, can you imagine what might have gone through Peter's mind just a few seconds before he stepped out and grabbed this guy by his hand? I mean, I'm sure that there were thoughts in his mind like, you better not do that. You're going to grab him by the hand and nothing's going to happen. Because there's always opposition to steps of faith, but you just have to step through that opposition. And as you step through it, and as you believe God, and as you trust God, you find that God will work. God will honor that. And that's when the Christian life gets so exciting, when you're living by faith, when you're taking steps of faith. The great example in the Old Testament, one great example of taking these steps of faith, you know, kind of going against all the odds, was when Jonathan one day was reasoning as the Israelites were in their, constant conflict with the Philistines. He began to reason one morning when he woke up. He thought, God doesn't need the whole army to deliver these Philistines. He could do it by one man. And so Jonathan decided to just sort of take a step of faith. And he told his armor bearer what he was thinking. And his armor bearer said, well, you're right. God doesn't need the whole army. He could use just one man. Whatever you do, I'm with you. I'll follow you. And Jonathan said, okay, well, let's take a step of faith and let's see what happens. And so they go up against this battalion, these two guys, and they have a complete victory over them. And the amazing thing is, as they go up and have this victory, then the Israelites see the victory that is being wrought through Jonathan and his armor bearer, and their faith is bolstered. They're encouraged, and they start taking steps of faith. And that's how it works. Somebody takes a step of faith, God honors it, other people see it, and they get inspired. They say, I want to do that too. And so as you take those steps of faith, years ago when God called us to leave our church that we'd been serving at for so many years and go start a fresh new thing in London, that was a big step of faith we had to take. But there was that sense of calling by the Lord. And all of those other things were things that we just had to say, God is able to overcome this. God is able to get us through this. God is able to deal with these obstacles, and we just have to trust him to do it. And we took that step, and God blessed. He honored that step. And sometimes I think about that, and I think about what a great time that was. And then other times I think, wow, what if we wouldn't have done that? Oh, we would have missed out on such an exciting time. But there was that element of faith. We didn't know, for absolute certain that this is what we were supposed to do. We had a good sense that God was calling us. But a lot of times you don't know for certain until you've actually gone and done it. And then you look back with hindsight, which is 2020, you say, yeah, the Lord called us. But there's that step of faith that has to be taken. And maybe God has been putting something on your heart. Something's just been stirring there. Something's been brewing. And you're thinking about it. But then those other thoughts come in like, oh, no, that wouldn't be the Lord. Because look at this obstacle and that obstacle. But that's the way God works. And he allows those obstacles to be there. And he calls us to take steps of faith against all the odds so that when we succeed, we'll know that it wasn't us who did it, but it had to have been the Lord. And so God gets the glory in the whole thing. So as you grow in the Lord, as you walk with Jesus, guess what? He's going to give you opportunities to take steps of faith. He's going to call you to take steps of faith. And like Peter, you're going to find yourself getting out of the boat and walking on water. But you say, well, wait a second, people can't walk on water. Right, they can't. But when the Lord calls you to do something, when he calls you to what seems to be impossible, he gives you the ability to do it. So don't be afraid to take those steps of faith. And so we see in them that they were men who took steps of faith. As a result of this healing, people had gathered around, and there they were wanting to really elevate and exalt the apostles themselves. They wanted to give them the credit for the miracle that had taken place. But as we read there in verse 12 of chapter 3, Peter said, "Why look so earnestly on us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man to walk?" And the point that we see here about these guys is that they were genuinely humble men, men who were interested in the glory of God, not in glorifying themselves. And that's another characteristic of a person who God uses, of a person who spends time with Jesus. That's a person who is humble. It's a person who recognizes that if any good thing is going to come out of anything they do, it's going to be because of the Lord. And these guys immediately took the attention from themselves and they put the attention back on the Lord. And that is characteristic of those who are going to be used by God. You know, the ministry is one of those things where, any kind of ministry, one of those things where Satan can come in and try to, you know, appeal to our flesh because we have done something great, or, you know, can get us kind of off on a pride trip thinking that we're something special. And there is that danger that exists. God is very wise and very careful. Being with my friend, he was also part of our team in England. And he was with us in London for about a year. Then the Lord sent him up to northern England, to the area of Manchester, and he pastored a little church up there. And it was the hardest ministry years of his life. Miserable. And trying to escape the call of God, always wanting to leave. Just because it was difficult. And I'll tell you, I used to go visit him and I would thank God with everything in me. God had not called me to the place that he lived because it was tough. And yet I was talking to him the other day and, you know, the Lord's blessing their ministry and good things are happening. And he was just telling me how sometimes he has to pinch himself because it's so good. And he appreciates so much what God is doing. And I said, you know, Ken, do you think you'd appreciate it as much if you hadn't had those experiences in England? And he said, you know what? If I hadn't had those experiences in England, I'd be so prideful over what God's doing that I'd disqualify myself from the ministry. And he could see in those difficult times how God was doing a work so that God was doing a work in him so that when God did a work through him, he wouldn't be tempted to take the glory for it. And a lot of times, the Lord is not able to work through us until he really has worked in us. Because if he worked powerfully through us, it'd go to our heads and we'd be taking the glory for it. And it wouldn't be long before we were just completely disqualified from ministry. But you see, the more you're with the Lord, the more you spend time with Jesus, you learn that if any good thing is going to happen, it's going to have to be the Lord. It really is. Because we learn about ourselves, how sinful we are, how pathetic we are, how needy we are. And then when he does something, we just turn around and say, Lord, this had to be you. And that's where these guys were at this point. But you know, it took them a while to get there as well. They didn't get there overnight. There were those times when they struggled with the same things that we struggle with. And Peter had to go himself through a major breaking process before he could get to this point. I'm sure had the Lord done something as powerful as this through him earlier, he might have said something a little bit different than what he said here. Instead of denying that it had anything to do with their own power or holiness, he might have taken some kind of credit for it. And that's what happens as we spend time with the Lord. He brings us to that usable place by bringing us to a realization of who we are and what we're really like. And then, as we go further into the account, the next thing we see is that Peter takes the advantage when the people gather together to preach the gospel. We see that Peter goes right through the scriptures himself. Now, I'm certain that Peter didn't have a Bible in his hand at this point. He wasn't walking around with a scroll in his back pocket that he unrolled and started, you know, reading to the people. The point is this: Peter, like everyone that's used by the Lord, Peter was a man who had hidden God's word in his heart. He had hidden God's word in his heart. And so he says in verse 22, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, and all the prophets from Samuel." And then he goes down further and he quotes from Genesis. So here's a man, and again, let me remind you, and I pointed this out in the last study, but let me emphasize it again. Here is a man who is a fisherman. Well, from the human standpoint, how could he be a minister? He's a fisherman. And again, I want to emphasize that God takes ordinary people from everyday walks of life. It's like we pointed out before how he took Amos from following. He was a herdsman and a farmer. Took him and he used him as a prophet. David was a shepherd boy. And this is where I think we need a fresh reminder of this again. And this is one of the things that I think is the beauty of what God has done through Calvary Chapel. What God is doing through Calvary and what these guys up in Canada were telling me that they long to see is the ministry given back into the hands of the common people. Just the average Joes, just the ordinary people that are fishermen and things like that. But that's what Peter was. He was just an ordinary guy. He was a fisherman, but he was a man who hid God's word in his heart. And we see that he had a working knowledge of the scripture so he can freely just draw upon the scriptures as he needs to and apply them. You know, I have been so blessed by people who were not in the ministry in the sense that we generally think of it. They weren't pastoring a church necessarily. But you know what? They're people who just spend time with the Lord. They know his word. Because what'll happen is when somebody knows the word and they love the Lord and they share that, God speaks. Really getting ministered to as people are just sharing with me what God is showing them from the word. It's a beautiful thing. He uses people that know his word, people that love his word, people that are devoted to his word, people that believe his word and meditate on it and apply it to their lives. And you know, these are the wisest people in the world. These are the people that ought to be running the government. People that really know the Lord and really know his word because they make the wise decisions. They make the right decisions. And then as we move into the fourth chapter, carrying on with the story, there's one other thing. And that is in verse 8. Peter was a man who was filled with the Holy Spirit. And being filled with the Holy Spirit is, again, that's really the qualification for ministry. The amazing thing about the Christian life and the Christian ministry both is this: I'm going to come upon you to enable you to do it. That's true of the Christian life. God says, this is how I want you to live. God says to those he's calling to different kinds of ministry, this is what I want you to go out and do. Wait for me. I'm going to come upon you and I'll get the job done that way. Remember, Jesus said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, but wait first in the city of Jerusalem until you receive the power. So I think one of the first things we probably think is that I'm not qualified for that. How could I do that? God will fill you with the Spirit. He'll pour his Spirit upon you and empower you. He loves to confound the wise with foolish things. He loves to take weak and contemptible things in the eyes of proud man and use them to further his plan and purpose. He loves to do stuff like that. It's just something God delights in doing. God resists the proud and he likes to humble the proud by taking those people that seem to be totally insignificant in the eyes of the world and work through them. When we left England, the Lord raised up Alwyn Wall to take over the church. And England is an interesting place. Even to this very day, even though things have changed a lot over the years, there's still sort of a class system in England. And among many of the ministries, and especially among, you know, those in positions of leadership, there was that class thing that was, you know, to a certain extent in effect. And so a person from the working class would never even think for a moment to minister to people or rub elbows with or have any, you know, connection to people in the middle or upper class in the society. And because of that hardcore class system that's existed even to this day to some extent, in just conversations with Alwyn, you know, he's shared with me about his own timidity in the ministry because he came from a working class background, because his father was a miner instead of a lord, or instead of, you know, somebody in a middle or upper class position. And that has been something that has, in a sense, intimidated him in regard to the ministry. But yet, God, as I look at what God's doing with him right now, he's doing what he's just delighted to do. He's taking this son of a miner, this working class person, and he set him right smack in the heart of the capital of England. He's got him right between the prime minister and the queen. And he's got the fastest growing church in London. And I know why God's doing it. To humble the prideful. To baffle those who are wise in their own eyes. They're having to look on in amazement and wonder. And much like these guys here, saying these are uneducated and ignorant men. How could God be doing this? But he is. Because that's the way he works. And that's the way he's going to keep working. And we need to realize that. Because that makes us all candidate to be used by the Lord. And every time I leave here and go out and travel around, once again, the Lord really provokes me in regard to getting the ministry out from here and into other places. And, you know, this is a great church and a great ministry, and God has done tremendous things for so many years, but I think he wants to keep doing it. And there's still a lot of wide open turf out there, so to speak. There's still tons of places. You get outside of our borders and it's just the sky's the limit. The whole world is like that. There are Christians all over Canada, Christians all over Europe, who just would like to have a church that they could go to and learn about the Lord. There's tens of thousands of Christians in that boat, because so much of the church today, unfortunately, tragically, has moved away from what the objective is supposed to be according to the Bible. And I believe that God, like he has been doing, I believe that in the future, in the near future, and on into however much future we have, God wants to keep equipping and keep sending people out to minister to those poor sheep that don't have shepherds. And so perhaps God's preparing you. God's calling you. Might not be right now, but you just have a sense that the Lord's setting something up. Go with that. Believe that. Commit yourself to that. Seek the Lord. Pray. Study his word. Get to know the scriptures. Stick tight with Jesus. He's going to do good things through your life. And we have a wonderful opportunity to serve the Lord in this generation. And man, let's do it. Because they, like us, they were ordinary men with this one qualification. They had been with Jesus. And that's all you need. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this great opportunity that we have here to grow, to be enriched. Lord, to learn, to study, to be established. But we know, Lord, that you want to do something with that in our lives. And so, Lord, may we just be open to being used by you in whatever way and wherever you might want to use us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll continue with more of our study through the book of Acts in our next lesson, as Pastor Brian will be offering us some valuable instruction on how to get to heaven. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled, Being Used by God. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT-3109. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.